This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Good, mashallah. I'm super hyped about the next surah, mashallah. I don't want to start without the streaming, inshallah. We'll try to end on time. I know it's supposed to rain heavy later on this evening, so we'll try to end right on time. So. We don't get stuck in the rain, inshallah. How y'all doing?
We're good.
We're good? All right. Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak wa hubba man yuhibbuk wa hubba amalin yuqarribuna ila hubbik ya arhamar rahimin. Jazakumullah khair. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for understanding of the book of Allah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us an emotional connection, a cognitive and an emotional connection with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask that the Quran be the rabi'a qulubina. That's the dua the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to say, oh Allah, make the Quran rabi'a qulubina. Rabi'a, yani the spring. Spring, when the springtime comes, there's life, right? And so we have to see the Quran as this source of spiritual life for us. And we're starting a new surah. We're starting surah to Ibrahim. And there's only a few surahs that actually are named after a person. And those surahs are very, those people are all people that embody one quality, the quality of sacrifice. The quality of sacrifice. And it lets us know that when you sacrifice, Allah will preserve your legacy. Allah will preserve your name. He'll preserve what you've done. He'll preserve the good that you've done. And that will go on well after you. Surah Ibrahim, I chose this surah because this is a Meccan surah. The last surah we did, Surah Hadid is a Madani surah. And you got to understand this, just so like, we have to learn how to approach the Quran. The Quran was revealed over time, as we all know. And typically scholars, they break up the life of the Prophet alayhi salam into two periods. The period in Mecca and the period in Medina. The period in Medina was a period where there was a bit of beef, there was a bit of difficulties that we were having. But we were more comfortable, way more comfortable than we were in Medina, in Mecca. And therefore, a lot of the rulings started to come. A lot of the rulings, Hajj came. Hajj came at the end. There was no Hajj in Islam. It came later. Zakat came later. All of these detailed rulings, even the like final stages of prayer, came later in Medina. So what was Mecca all about then? Well, Mecca was about the foundation, y'all. Mecca was like, we have to build the foundation. We have to pour the cement before we build up. If we don't pour the cement, then we won't be able to even build a big building. And so the years in Mecca, the 13 years in Mecca are all about grinding, sacrifice, and teaching one thing. It's all about teaching iman. It's all about teaching iman. What are the main concepts? Oneness of God. Oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oneness of Allah, for what we have to understand oneness of Allah means is that the cause to everything, there's only one cause to everything. Everything happening in my life, everything happening in the world, ahad, ahad. When Bilal was being dragged on the sand of Mecca, what was he repeating? Ahad, ahad, ahad. That's all he could say, that's all he knew, that my Lord is one. Second aspect, risala, prophets. This surah that we're studying, Ibrahim, is a surah that really focuses on prophets. And I think we should all reflect on the blessing of God sending prophets and realize what those prophets have done for us as a ummah and for humanity since the time they came. There's no way to know about the akhirah. There's no way to know about the hereafter except through these anbiya. And so this surah speaks about prophets. It speaks about the oneness of God. And it speaks about one last thing that changes everything in life. The akhirah. Resurrection and standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar radiallahu an lived a rough life before Islam. We talked about Umar. Umar was, by all accounts of his own words, addicted to alcohol. He lived a rough life. And he used to say, وَلَوْ لَا قِيَامَ لَكَانَ غَيْرَ مَا تَرَوْنَ. If it wasn't for the fact that there's a day of judgment, I'd be a different person. I'd be wilding out. But the day of judgment is what balances, it brings me down. That moment I'm going to stand, there's a point to all of this. And so this surah, we need these Meccan surahs, and we need them often is because we live in a time where iman is being attacked constantly. And as you study the Meccan surahs, you'll find your iman is being boosted. Your iman is being lifted. Iman in what? The hereafter, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the need and the blessing of having prophets. So let's get right into the surah. It's a beautiful surah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We begin in the name of Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the most compassionate, the most merciful. This word Rahman was a word that the Arabs weren't used to. Sometimes we think that when the Quran was revealed in Arabic, that the people around the Prophet, they understood everything that he was saying. Nah. They used to say, who's Rahman? What's this Rahman you're talking about? They weren't familiar with some of the concepts. So the Prophet ﷺ taught them who Ar-Rahman is, this most compassionate. Compassion is a godly quality. Compassion is a godly quality. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that Allah says, listen closely to this, this is heavy. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a hadith Qudsi, that I have derived my name from the rahm. You know what the rahm in Arabic is? The womb. The word in Arabic for womb is rahm. The name of God's attribute is ar-Rahman. And they say the beauty is that the rahm has the ability to expand. Somebody asked a woman, like a mother, hey mom, you got all these kids. How do you divide your love? You know what she said? I don't divide love, I multiply love. That's a mother for you. The more people come in, the more love she has. Just more, it just expands. And so one man walked in the masjid one day. And I'm focusing on this quality of rahmah, because lately, rahmah, compassion, has been a pejorative. Oh, you're compassionate. I thought I was in the Twilight Zone. Dude's trolling people for being compassionate. I thought this was a Twilight Zone episode, yo. Like, are we really trolling people for being compassionate? Because last time I checked, the Rasul ﷺ was compassionate. Last time I checked, that quality of compassion comes from the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rahman. Last time I checked, a man walked into the masjid. Y'all gonna love this hadith. He was a Bedouin. Bedouins are from the streets, but streets of the desert, you know what I mean? So they're a little rougher. So he came into the masjid, and he had a few issues with some people, just because he ain't from around here. So he made a dua out loud. He said, oh Allah, have mercy upon me and Muhammad and nobody else. The Prophet ﷺ looked up like, bruh, لَقَدَ ضَيَّقْتَ الْوَاسِعِ, that you have limited something that is so expansive, so vast. Allah's mercy doesn't limit, it's vast. So compassion is a beautiful quality, man. Compassion is a quality of the Rasul. He was strong, but he was compassionate. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The surah begins with these letters. Alif Lam Ra. So for those who don't know Arabic, those are just three letters of Arabic language. And there are about 19 surahs that begin with just these letters. And scholars will tell you, Ustad Abdul Rahman right now is doing surah to the Qaf. It starts off with just Qaf. Qaf, like A, Z. It just starts off with a letter. And typically, if you read a translation, Allah knows best what these words mean. But some scholars have said, hold on though. Every letter has a meaning in the Quran. Every letter. The example they give is وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ زُمُرًا. There's a verse in the Quran. I won't go too deep because we're focusing on this, but there's a verse in the Quran where there's a wow, which means and. And it says, when the righteous people get to the gates of heaven and the gates are open. But when it describes the people of hell getting to hell and the gates of hell, it doesn't say and they're open. It just says they'll be opened. And the scholars say this one wow creates such a different meaning. It means when people of Jannah get to heaven, there's no waiting. You've been waiting the whole dunya. You've been holding your appetites the whole dunya. So when you get to the gates of Jannah, it's already open. But when the people of hell, na'udhu billah, may Allah protect us. When they get to hell, it won't even be open yet. I'd be like, yo, hold up, wait here. Checkpoint. You made them go through checkpoints, now you go through checkpoints. Yeah, makes sense, right? You made them sit at checkpoints for hours, now you sit at checkpoints for hours. Yep, exactly. Crazy. That one wow creates such a dynamic picture. So every letter in the Quran has a meaning. But when it comes to Alif Lam Ra, the beginning of this surah, nobody knows what that means. So some scholars have said this. Here are a few opinions on what it means. When somebody's not aware and they're sleeping, not sleeping literally, but like not woke, you don't just start talking to them. You got to get their attention. Ayo, hey wifey, like hey Sara, you got to call them out first. And typically we either call out with sounds or words or something. So, you know, hey, yo, hey. So some scholars, they say, Alif Lam Ra wasn't a word. It was to get the attention. Because those who are there, they're like, yo, what's that mean? But why, when they say, what's that mean? Now they're already caught in. You're already there now. Pulled you in. Got you. It was Allah pulling the attention of the people. Alif Lam Ra. Yo, what's that about? Don't worry. Tanzilul Kitab min Allah. It's ajeeb, yo. You know what else they say, though? SubhanAllah. Imam, some of the scholars, they say that it's all about humility. See, the Arabs, they were lyricists par excellence. I'm going to start to behave, inshallah. They were lyricists par excellence. They used to sit in big circles, and one person would start a rhyme and pass it to the next person. And the next person has to pick it up and keep going. And whoever dropped the ball would be out of the cipher. Freestyle it. And they would do it. That was what they did. They loved language. That's what they did. They loved language so much. And the miracle that the Prophet ﷺ brought was a literary miracle. And so they're very bold and arrogant about language. We know language. That's what they do. It's like somebody in Silicon Valley, like, yo, I know IT. I know computer. I know programming. And then DeepSeek comes out. You don't know nothing, bro. Like, I know so much. And so the Quran wanted to humble the Arabs. You know so much about language, right? Alif Lam Ra. Tell me what your letters mean, yo. Yo, you can write a thesis paper. You can write a beautiful, you know, stanza of poetry. Okay, just tell me what the letter Alif means. Yeah, exactly. Sit down. No, it's to humble. It's to humble because they don't know. They have no way to know that. And so when they hear Alif Lam Ra, the scholars, they say it was telling them there's so much more to unlock. Just tap into this prophet. Let me say that again. You feel me, Moaz? Yo, shout out to Haytham. He ain't here. He's watching online. Shout out, Haytham. Make dua. His wife's not feeling well, inshallah. Yo, the Quran and following Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam unlocked a whole new world for me. And it does it to everyone. You become living on a different plane. You're on a different, like, here. And so the Quran is telling the Arabs, like, if you just listen to this man, there's so much more that is going to unlock for you. You just got to tap into the message. There's something else, yo. A lot of people like to hate on reading the Quran without understanding. Oh, what's the benefit? What's the benefit of reading Quran without? The moment somebody says that to me, I go, yeah, you're right. Start Surah Baqarah, yo. Alif Lam Mim. I'm like, all right, what's that mean? I don't know. Why are you reading? It's not about understanding because you have to approach the book with humility. Let me say that again. You have to approach the book with humility. If you come with arrogance, you won't learn from the book. If you come with perversions, you'll see those perversions. يُذِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا. Many are guided by it, many are misguided by it. So the book is starting off by saying, come humble, ready to learn. Ready to learn and take in what Allah wants you to learn. I heard a story when I was a student. A student went to the teacher and he said to the teacher, he said, we're learning the Quran in Arabic and we don't understand Arabic. What's the point? Like he had a moment where he was able to be open with the teacher. And he said, what's the point? So the teacher, wise, he said to the boy, he said, there's a basket of coal right there. Can you get that basket of coal for me? The kid got the basket of coal. So the teacher dumped the coal out on the ground. And then he said, take this basket to the river right there. And I want you to bring the basket back with full water. This kid was obedient. He's like, all right, my teacher's telling me to get water. I'll do it for him. So he goes to the river. He, you know, fills the basket up with water. And he tries to bring it back. But obviously, it's a basket. It's a wicker basket. The water falls out. He comes back. Teacher's like, no, I said water. He goes once, goes twice, goes three times. So, kid's smart. He's like, Sheikh, this is not possible. The Sheikh goes, all right, can you look inside the basket? Now, when he dumped the basket out with coal, it had all the soot and the coal and the dust from the coal around it. But now the basket was clean. He said, the Quran is cleaning your heart whether you know it or not. Reading Quran is cleaning your heart whether you know it or not. You didn't come back with any water, but the basket is clean. You didn't understand a word what you said. You didn't get a word of that, but that was cleaning your heart. And then when you approach with understanding, there's a whole nother level of cleaning happening. But the point I'm trying to make here is it's not always about understanding. I asked my teacher one time to read a book that was above my pay grade. I asked him, can I read this book? He was like, no, you can't read it. So I said to the Sheikh, I was like, Sheikh, I'm only going to act upon what I understand. He said, that's what I'm worried about. I'm worried about you acting upon what you think you understand. So don't read the book until I tell you to read it. I was like, all right, I got you, cool. Don't read the book, all right, cool. So the point here is that it begins with these letters that no one truly knows what they mean. I have my own thing. You want to hear what I think, y'all? A lot of people, when they get really philosophical, they look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala communicating to human beings in language. And they think that this anthropomorphizes God, which means makes God human-like. And so, you know, I would have this conversation with my father often too. It's like, oh, God gets angry. Oh, God gets happy. My dad would say this to me. We're debating religion. He'd be like, oh, God gets happy, right? I'm like, yeah, God gets happy. Oh, God gets angry. And these are emotions, right, that me and you experience. And so my dad would say, like, it seems like, you know, your God is very whatever. Na'udhu billah. And I would say to my dad something. I would say, Dad, God is communicating to me in words that I understand. And here's what I'll say to you. If God communicated to us in his language, it would all sound like alif lam mim. You feel me? You know when you're talking to someone who's not from here, you start sounding like a fob too? You know, no, for real. All of a sudden, I'm like doing this with my head and stuff. For real, I be like all of a sudden code switching to like codes I don't know. Right? When you talk to a kid, a little baby, all of a sudden, right? Because I'm communicating with you, I come down to your level. So Allah speaks to us not in his level, but he shows you. It's like, I don't want to say flex because I don't want to sound bad, but he's almost saying like, oh, there's another layer to my communication, just so you know. Alif lam mim. We're all like, what's that mean? He's like, don't worry. By the way, Tanzilul Kitab. Let me speak on your level. Beautiful, man. Quran is next level, y'all. Alif lam ra. So what does it mean? I don't know. Nobody does. Alif lam ra. Kitabun. Kitabun. This is a book. This Quran. Kitabun. And it's as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Ya Habib, O my beloved, this is a book, أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ, that we sent down to you. أَنزَلْنَا, we sent it down. I gave this book to you, إِلَيْكَ, to you, O Muhammad. That to you is to him, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah speaking directly to him, his Habib, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You can't take the Prophet out of the equation, yo. He's the first recipient. This is a book that I have sent down to you. It's a blessing, it's for you. What's it for, though? Why? لِتُخْرِجَ النَّاسَ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. So that you could pull humanity. Humanity. So that you could pull everybody out of darkness and bring them to light. Now, interesting thing about the Prophet, the Prophet taught us that many prophets in the past were sent to a certain group of people. And the Prophet said, except me, I'm the final prophet sent for all humanity. لِتُخْرِجَ النَّاسِ. See, we all want to come out of light, come out of darkness into light. We have that desire. I want to be in the light. I want to see clearly. I want to see clearly. 25 years ago, before I converted, I remember seeing a dream all the time that I was walking around, but I couldn't see clear. Everything was a little hazy. Years later, I realized what it was. See, the crazy part is light is something that makes things clear. And in the material world, they make things clear so you don't trip over them, so you don't hurt yourself, so you can distinguish between things. But this book brings you out of darkness to a light inside as well, so that you understand anger, you understand anxiety, you understand depression, you understand all of the psychological things inside of you as well. See, a light lets you see in front of you, but you also can see yourself when the light turns on. So the light isn't just... And what's crazy is when you're holding a light, somebody else is like, oh, now I can see. Now I know where to go. Thanks for holding up the light, bro. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we gave you this book so that you can pull people. لِتُخْرِجْ أَخْرَجُ يُخْرِجْ means to pull them up. And this is what you have to realize is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his dawah, I said this hadith before, but it fits so well. He said, my example to you is like the example of a person who started a campfire. And you're like gnats or moths that just want to keep going towards the fire. But I'm around the fire and I'm pushing you away. Don't go to the club. Don't listen to that. Don't eat that. Don't walk there. Don't say that. And he's just pushing us from the fire, but we're the moths. We just keep going to the fire. I had a teacher, he used to say, when you see somebody with a lot of dunya, you see somebody with a lot of dunya, it's like when there's an ant on a drop of honey, but the ant's stuck. All the other ants around like, yo, he's chilling. Homie in the honey like, I'm stuck, y'all. Yo, that's crazy. All the other ants are looking at ants in the honey like, yo, bruh, he's on the top of the world. Right? That's how we look at people with all, yo, you got everything. But where's homie at? He's on the top of the honey, stuck. Yo, I'm dying in here. I'm dying. You don't want to be up here. We're like, yeah, you're just saying it because it's sweet up there. He's like, no, I'm dying on this honey. Crazy analogy. Crazy analogy. لِتُخْرِجَ النَّاسِ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ. Oh, can the brothers just pull? Yeah, just get close. Get close, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Barakallahu fikum. May Allah bless the gathering. لِتُخْرِجَ النَّاسِ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. To pull people. So I was given the example of the Prophet's function. The Prophet ﷺ is saying, I'm pulling you. I'm stopping you from going into this dunya, but you just keep rushing after the things that destroy you. لِتُخْرِجَ النَّاسِ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ. What is ظُلُمَات? ظُلُمَات is the darkness of, again, anxieties, worries, depression. This is interesting because what this says is that the Quran will save you. The Quran will bring you into the light because it shapes how you think. Okay, so like one of the methods, like if someone has a bad method of thinking, something that we can do and something that therapists do is like CBT, right? Cognitive behavioral therapy. And in CBT, all you're doing is asking questions to reshape how the person thinks, right? And slowly through those questions, if you do it enough, all of a sudden you start to reframe how you think. Well, I think that the Quran is its own layout and reshaping thought. Let me give an example. Same surah. We're going to read this. I don't know when we're going to get there, but in the same surah,
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا لَنَا وَمَا لَنَا لَا نَتَوَكَّلَ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَقَدَ هَدَانَا سُبُلَنَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that a prophet was speaking to his people and he said, and why should I not trust in God when he has guided me this far? Now hold on, that's deep right there. Because so many of us right now have anxiety, we're worried, what's gonna happen next week? Am I gonna get into that school or not? Is she gonna accept the proposal? I was talking to someone last week and they were older, in a different city. And they're like, I'm getting to an age, I can't work, this, and I'm worried. I'm worried about my livelihood. I was like, Auntie, has he taken care of you up till now? She's like, yeah, but yeah. I was like, hold. You was in the womb. You couldn't do nothing. Did he take care of you? She's like, yeah. You came out, 1 year old, can't even lift up your neck, head like falling. Did he take care of you? He brought milk. Milk wasn't even there. The day you came, the milk showed up. The day you came, it showed up. Hour before, it wasn't there. Like that. And then he placed love in parents' heart. Well, they sacrifice everything for you. So, and I just kept going. And I said to her, so for the last 40 years, sister, he's been taking care of you. And he's going to stop? She's like, nah, you're right. I was like, yo, we're good. But the Quran asked the question so that you could reply to it and be like, yeah, why shouldn't I trust in Allah? He's always been there for me. لِتُخْرِجَ النَّاسِ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ. One of the darknesses is anxiety and worry. In the Quran, we're going to read a verse today, and I'm going to tell you, this verse will take you out of the darkness of anxiety and worry because it's reshaping how you think. So light is powerful. The light is what makes things clear so you don't bump into things. But it also makes you recognize who you are and makes clarity of the internal darkness that the rest of the world is suffering with. Allahu Akbar. لِتُخْرِجَ النَّاسِ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ. So that we gave you this book, O Muhammad, so that you could take and pull people out of darkness to light, clarity, purpose of life. For me, the first level of light is purpose. The first level of darkness is not even knowing why you're here, yo. And there's a lot of people walking the earth right now, maybe 90% who are like, why am I alive? And if you ask normal Muslim, like, what's your purpose? You push a little. Like, yeah, we're here to worship Allah. We're here. I used to give dawah back in the day. I was a dawah bro, yeah, back in the day. I retired, hung the hat up, yo, put the cape on the wall. I used to give dawah. So I would go up to brothers, and I would say this. I was like, this is my little line, right? You gotta have a line for your dawah, right? So I would say he'd have a cap on. I'd be like, yo, what's the purpose of your hat? He'd be like, yo, you know, to look good, whatever. All right, what's the purpose of your shoes? To cover my feet. All right, what's the purpose of your pants? After a while, dude's like, yo, what you getting at? I'd be like, what's your purpose? And everybody right there, So I would be like, so you know the purpose of your hat, you know the purpose of your shoes, you know the purpose of your car, but you don't have a purpose? The first level of darkness that you come out of with La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah is I know why I'm here. You know the second level of light? Direction. Direction. There's a lot of people who know the purpose but don't know how to get there. No, you don't. Spiritual, I'm spiritual. Send in energy. You feel me? They know there's something higher, right? They know there's God. They know that. But now they're just winging it. Just winging it. Making it up as they go. That's the next level. This prophet goes, I got you. I'm one of many prophets, not the first. And I've been sent to give you this message and show you the way. Here's the direction. So the Quran is telling us that there are diseases in the heart, there are darknesses in the heart, and that it's going to pull you out by giving you insight and giving you action to do. Allahu Akbar. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, لِتُخْرِجَ النَّاسَ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ, to take people out of darkness to light by the permission of Allah. by the permission of their Lord. What this means is everything is by God's permission. Coming out of light, coming out of darkness to light is with the permission of Allah. That means don't think you're capable on your own. One of the traps that we have is as we mature spiritually, we have to remember, I can't do anything except with God's permission. This is hard for us because a lot of us have been doing things on our own for a long time. We've been independent since we were 14, 13, 12. And so we had to learn a long time ago to say, I could do it. But when you get to higher levels of spirituality, you got to learn, I can't do nothing, yo. I can't do nothing. I have no control. Your strongest moment is the moment you truly witness your dependence on God. That's your strongest moment. And your weakest moment is the moment you think you could do everything. Strongest moment is the moment you witness your dependence on God. You're unbeatable in that moment, yo. You're unbeatable. You remember when, what was the brother's name, Khalifa something, who was being executed? The African-American Muslim brother. And everyone shared his stuff, petition. They didn't do anything. It ain't justice, it's just us. You know how that is. You know when he spoke, though, how calm he was? He was like, alhamdulillah, I'm good. Allah's in control. He understood my true dependence is just on God. And then he's untouchable. And that's where he was at. He died in a state of contentment with God. Bi'idni rabbihim, by the permission of God. The only way we'll be able to do righteous, the only way we'll be able to avoid sin is by God's permission. What is the Prophet pulling us towards? Ila siratil azizil hamid. The verse says, so that you, O Muhammad, could pull people out of darkness to light and to sirat, and to a straight path. But whose path is this? Why am I hearing my voice? Whose path is this? The path of al-aziz, the almighty al-hamid. Hold on, this is interesting. Sometimes you have light, but the place you got to get to is too far away. And sometimes the place you have to get to is close, but you have no light. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the Prophet came to give you two things. Number one, light. Number two, sirat. A straight line is the shortest distance between two points. A straight line is the shortest distance between two points. This is the quickest way to God. Yeah, you might stumble upon righteousness. You go off in the mountains and just fast and kind of like, you know what I mean? You might stumble upon some righteousness. But you might not. Sirat, straight, short. Shortest distance is a straight line. Shortest distance. So the Prophet comes to bring us clarity and efficiency. Efficiency in how we live our lives and find this way. I say this because so many of us spent years looking for the way. I just want to impress on you the value of having the way already. Just value that. Value that. Appreciate that I have that way. And that's what it is. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the Prophet guides you. We gave you this book. This book will bring you out of darkness to light. This one here. And it will guide you to a sirat. Sirat means a straight path, which means the shortest path to a destination. But whose path is this? Al-Aziz Al-Hamid. Aziz means the Almighty. Aziz means the Almighty. And Hamid, the ones they say Hamid means the one worthy of praise, whether you praise him or not. Whether you praise him or not. Two qualities of Allah. Al-Aziz, mighty. And what? Hamid, worthy of praise, whether you praise him or not. Now here's the beauty of the Quran. I told you it was a literary, it was a rhetorical miracle. And sometimes in English it's hard to communicate it, but I'll try my best. This verse here, it says in Arabic, Ila siratil azizil hamidi Allahi. Now, I'll try my best. The quality of Aziz is a quality of God. That's who he is. That's a quality of Allah. So it's the path of the Almighty. It's the path of the praiseworthy one. But here's the crazy part. I'm going to give you an example in English. So, Akram, I'm gonna use you. You just sat down, bro. Okay. And he sat up too. He's like, oh, he's talking about me, y'all. He's talking about me. So let's say Akram's a writer and a coder, right? A writer and a coder. I'm just making, I don't even know what he does, bro. Anyway. So coder, he's a coder, right? That's one of his attributes. And he's a writer. That's another attribute. But who is he? Akram. So imagine I was like, yo, we're going to go to the writer and the coder's house. In your mind, you're like, who? I'm like, Akram. Now look at the verse. Allah says, this book will guide you to the path of the Almighty, the Hamid. Who's that? Allah. So it's as if the person listening was asking a question. And the Quran's answering the question as your mind hears it. It's the beauty of the Quran. As your mind is reading it, and you're saying, well, whose path is this? The next word is Allahi. Clarifying whose path it was. So what does the verse say? Number two verse. Allahi, it's Allah's path. Who is Allah? Now remember how I said that this Quran is almost like CBT? It's training how you think. One of the things that all of us struggle with, always, we all struggle with, is anxiety. Worries. Just straight up worry. I'm worried about this. I'm worried about that. And the Prophet ﷺ taught us to seek refuge from ham wal hazan, worries and grief. So the fact that he emphasized this shows that it's something that humans will deal with all the time. This next verse, listen to what Allah is saying. الَّذِي لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Hold on. It's something you hear all the time, but I need you to listen like you never heard it before. I need you to listen like it's the first time. الَّذِي, the one who, all of the heavens and the earth belongs to him. Yani, he's in control of it all. Yeah, Mikael, I know Allah's in control. Do you? Because you was worried earlier today. Let me explain something. You know why childhood was so fun? My kid's in front of me right now. I don't even care. You know why being a kid was so fun, y'all? I know we all had some troubles, but generally speaking, right? You know why having a... Because you ain't have to worry about nothing. Everything was already taken care of. Think about it. When you was a kid, you was just chilling. Where are we going to eat tonight? I don't know, but mommy going to have something. Like, you never worry because control. Someone had control. All right, listen. I took the kids on vacation. I need a vacation. Because I came back stressed. But they had a ball, y'all. To them, oh, we had a ball. To me, I'm like, yo, did we pay for this? Where did I park the car? Where did what they eating tonight? You know, like, for me, I'm thinking about control. I was worried. But for the children, it was just like, somebody's got this. So Mikael, what's the point? The point is, why would Allah keep reminding us, I'm in control, I'm in control, I'm in control? The reason is, He wants you to let go. He wants you to sit there and be like, he's in control. This is therapy for you. But the verses that are therapy, you'd be like, oh, I read that before. Oh, I know that. No, it's not about know it. It's about bring it in. It's about saying, ya Allah's in control. Lahu mulku samawati wal ard. To him belongs the heaven and the earth. He's in control. He's in control. He's in control. We trip when something is above our means. We trip when something is above our means. And that's the blessing of having a relationship with Allah, because nothing is ever above your means. Because my means was always Allah. That's it. It's powerful. لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. To him belongs everything in the heavens and everything in the earth. هُوَ يَعْنِي هُوَ. He's in control. I'm not in control. وَوَيْلُ لِلْكَافِرِينَ مِنْ عَذَابٍ شَدِيدٍ. It's where it gets heavy though. You know, the word wail means like woe in English. But some say it's a valley in Jahannam. It's a valley, a punishment in hellfire. And the verse says, woe or destruction be to those who disbelieve, warning them of a severe punishment. You know, the one who doesn't know Allah's in control and the one who denies Allah isn't just in a punishment in the akhirah, they're in a punishment in the dunya. We are in a jannah in a way because of that relationship with God. You have a source to relieve all of that anxiety, all that worry. It's a sajda. It's a sajda. Sajda is a hack, yo. It's a hack. The whole dunya on YouTube watching how to get my life together videos. The hack is a sajda. But what is a sajda? It's letting go. I'm not in control. Wail. Destruction be to those. I heard a scholar say, destruction not in the akhirah, not in the hereafter, now, for those who disbelieve. Now, whenever we read, I said this in the other surah, whenever the Quran says kafirin, a lot of us are like, whoa, that's really bad for those guys. No, listen. No, seriously. Allah tells you about qualities of the disbelievers so that you can check if you have those qualities in you. We see the word kafir and we're like, oh, I'm a Muslim. First of all, I'll tell you this. You don't know what you are tomorrow. Your arrogance is the thing that may switch you up. There's a hadith we were just studying this week. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, this is a sound narration. He said, there'll come a time in this ummah where a person will wake up a believer, by nighttime they're a kafir. And another person will wake up in the morning a kafir, by nighttime they're a believer. يَبِيعُ دِينَ بِأَرَضٍ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. They sell the deen like this. So you don't know what you are tomorrow. There's a hadith about tawadha and humility where the Prophet said, and I hope we can appreciate his eloquence, he says, فَإِنَّكَ لَا تَدْرِي مَا إِسْمُكَ غَدًا. He goes, you don't even know what your name will be tomorrow. Now, if you're a very literal person, you're like, well, that doesn't make sense. But if you're poetic, you get it. The most concrete thing you know about yourself is your name. And the Prophet ﷺ, he's saying, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't even know what your name is going to be tomorrow. It's a metaphor to say, things change like this. Things change quick. So when you think, oh, I'm a believer, there's a level, a hint of arrogance there. Now, if you're humble, alhamdulillah, I have iman. But hamd, gratitude creates humility. Alhamdulillah, I'm a Muslim. Alhamdulillah, I'm about to pray Isha, inshallah. You finish Isha, you're like, Ya Allah, thank you for that. Ya Allah, I didn't do anything to deserve that sajda. I didn't do anything to deserve that sajda. And Allah's like, I'm asking you, Muhammad, I'm asking you, Aisha, I'm asking you, Zoya, I'm asking you to do a sajda to me. I didn't even give everybody permission to do that. I didn't even give everybody permission to do that. So when we read the word kafir, don't just push that off to disassociate. Rather say, alhamdulillah. There's another thing. Do you know what else kafir means? The word kafir comes from the Arabic word of a farmer. Because a farmer takes a seed and covers it with dirt. And the kafir covers up the blessing of God. Covers it up. Oh, I did that. I'm this. I'm that. You are nothing but what God gave you. And the kafara part of that is to take that seed, that blessing, and cover it. No, let that seed show that it's from God. فَوَيْلُ لِلْكَافِرِينَ مِنْ عَذَابٍ شَدِيدٍ. Woe, destruction be to those who are ungrateful to God of a severe punishment. Now here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes three attributes of these people. And the attributes are for you to reflect on. الَّذِينَ يَسْتَحِبُّونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا عَلَى الْآخِرَةِ. You know what else used to trip me out when I first started learning Quran, y'all? The scariest verse would be recited in the most poetic, beautiful words. Because I used to be in this hifz class, and there's these little kids with these beautiful angelic voices. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? You ever see kids memorizing little kids? Beautiful voices. And they're reading like crazy Jahannam verses. But it's in the most beautiful. Like, عذاب شديد. And I'm crying because the verse is heavy, but the voice is beautiful. And it was just this amazing Quran. Sorry, I'm in my feels, right? You know what I mean? Quran is different. وَوَيْلُ لِلْكَافِرِينَ مِنْ عَذَابٍ شَدِيدٍ. Destruction be to those who are ungrateful of God's blessing. Warn them of a severe punishment. What are the qualities of these people, though? What does it manifest to know that they're going through this unless we know what got them there? Next verse, Allah says there's three qualities. Number one. أَلَّذِينَ يَسْتَحِبُّونَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا عَلَى الْآخِرَةِ. Number one. Those who يَسْتَحِبُّ. Hub in Arabic means what? Love. Habibi. Habibi. Mahbub. Beloved. Habibullah. When you love something, you say, uhibbu. Uhibbu that. I love that. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alladina yastahibbuna. Now pardon me, I'm going to get a little nerdy on y'all. A little Arabic. The form that this word love is on is in a form that it always means to seek out. It means to seek something. Istaghfara yastaghfiru. To seek forgiveness. To seek it. This verse doesn't say, الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. It don't say that. Those who love hayat al-dunya. It says, يَسْتَحِبُّ. I heard a sheikh say, they love to love it. See, there's a lot of dunya that we our nafs loves, but we hate that we love it. We hate that I'm addicted to that sin. I hate that I have this quality about my character. I'm passive aggressive, right? My wife says, but anyways, right. I hate that about myself, right? I hate that about me. I don't love it. There's things about us that our nafs loves, but we hate. And that's a beautiful quality. But sometimes you're so caught up in a love that you love loving it. Go home, tell wifey, I love loving you. You're going to thank me later. I love loving you. I love loving the deen. One thing is I love the deen. But I love loving the deen. That's a whole nother level. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about these kuffar. الَّذِينَ يَسْتَحِبُّونَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا عَلَى الْآخِرَةِ. They love loving the dunya. You know what else I thought about this too? Once you get a certain level of dunya, you gotta like force yourself to love it. Because it's all the same after a while. So yastahibuna is when you do something bitakallaf, you force yourself on it. You force yourself to love the dunya. Now notice this. Alladhina yastahibuna al-hayat ad-dunya, they love loving the dunya. Dunya means this immediate, what's right in front of you. Ala al-akhirah, over the hereafter. Over the hereafter. The objective here is, listen to this. In the dunya, if you're a person of immediate gratification, you're sleeping. If you're a person that needs immediate gratification, and you're not even a Muslim, you're not going to get anywhere in life. We all know that. You don't study for exams. You don't put in work. Whole YouTube is all video grind. You got to grind. You got to do this, right? Right? Everyone understands the concept. You got to put in work now to see the results later. The whole world will tell you that. What is that? That's a bit of having foresight. It's a bit of saying, I'm not going to look right now. I'm going to look 10 years from now. So someone says, I'm going to go to med school. Someone's like, yo, bro, you're going to finish when you're like 28. He's like, but then I'm going to be chilling. So I'm going to grind right now. Other person's like, no, I'm just going to chill right now. 20 years from now, we know how that ends up. Here's what's crazy. The Quran teaches us to have this ability to look forward and live life based on what's in front of you. But further forward than what people for the dunya do it for. Let me say it this way. There's people up at 5 a.m. grinding for their physical body to be in perfect shape while we sleeping. Sleeping on our spiritual well-being. So what I mean by this is there's people who are able to delay their gratification for a worldly benefit because 20 years from now it'll benefit. The Quran teaches, وَالْعَقِبَةَ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. We look forward, but we look all the way forward. We look all the way forward. Not till I'm 50, not till I'm 60, till I'm standing before God. That's the true foresight. That's the true ability to look forward. So think of levels of wokeness. You got some people, they're literally living for the next desire. Then a little bit above that, people are like, yo, bro, hold up on your desires, put in some work, you'll benefit later. Then the believer's like, yeah, yeah, hold a little bit longer too, though. Hold on further for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْعَاقِبَةَ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَحِبُّونَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا عَلَى الْآخِرَةِ. They prefer this over what comes later. Here's what I heard a sheikh say. We love the dunya. We, believers, us, we love the dunya. Who here loves the dunya? Don't know why everyone's like, is this a trick question? You love the dunya? How could you not? He said, we love the dunya for the akhirah, not love the dunya instead of the akhirah. I love the dunya because it's where I plant seeds for akhirah. Every day I'm alive, I'm planting a tree. Every day I'm alive, I'm showing love to family, wifey, children. I'm building Jannah right now. I don't want to leave. But I love it not for dunya. I love this for akhirah. Ain't that deep? That's a paradigm. That's a paradigm to live by. We love dunya for the akhirah. We don't love the dunya over the akhirah. And that's how we live. And that's why the Prophet said, every day you're alive is a treasure from God. If dunya was so bad and we were supposed to hate it, you should like want to leave. He said, no, every day is a blessing. Allahu Akbar. الَّذِينَ يَسْتَحِبُّونَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا عَلَى الْآخِرَةِ. First quality, they love the immediate. They love the immediate. That's why every fajr, الصَّلَاةُ خَيْرٌ مِنَ النَّوْمِ. Can you overcome the immediate pleasure of sleep and get up and pray? If you're able to do that, Allah's like, I love you, because you're doing it for my sake. Number two quality, وَيَصُدُّونَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And what else do? They block people from the path of Allah. This is deep, because misery loves company. Misery loves company. May Allah bless her. She always tried to keep me away from those friends who weren't real friends. Their trajectory was a certain route, and they trying to pull me with them. I'm trying to excel, they're trying to pull me down. And moms used to say, nah, you know what they say, you're gonna jump off a bridge, right? You know what I mean? Did y'all hear that too? Yazan, you heard that too? If your friend jump off a bridge, you gonna jump off a bridge? The Arabs don't got that saying? Okay, all right. Well, that's what black people say. And the idea is like, misery loves company. Yasuduna an sabilillah, what does it mean? They're not happy just being lost. They wanna see you lost too. So they work their best to push people off this track. Number two. Number three, وَيَبَغُونَهَا عِوَجَا. And they try to make this straight path crooked. This path is deen. This deen is straight. Don't change it. Look, there's good deeds I don't have the ability to do yet. I'm not there yet. But I will never change the deen because I'm not there yet. The deen is what I'm striving to get to. And I'm going to do tawbah tonight for my sins. But God protect me. God protect us all. I'm not going to change the deen. If I change the deen to me, I become the God. You feel me? Whose law is it? Your law or his law? It's his law. I'm not the standard of excellence that deen is. I fall short. But what happens is we keep falling short so much that we then start to change. Well, he doesn't really want me to do that. Ah, don't do that. Because then you'll never rise up. You'll never rise up to where you could reach. Because you brought the standard down to you. Instead of you rising to the standard. And what type of life is that to live? We're almost done. أُولَٰئِكَ فِي ضَلَالٍ بَعِيدٍ. Allah says people with three qualities. يَسْتَحِبُّونَ الْحَيَاةِ. They love the dunya over the akhirah. They stop people from the path. They stop people from the path. And number three, they try to change the path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says أُولَٰئِكَ فِي ضَلَالٍ بَعِيدٍ. Ba'id means far, far. Dhalal means lost. You know how when you go past your exit, well, this is Dallas, so this ain't gonna work. But in normal states, when you go past your exit, you get off on the next exit, you can get back around. Sometimes you so far off, you get off on an exit, you ask somebody, you like, yo, where's such and such? Oh, they like, yo, you big lost, yo. Oh, you big lost. You got to go like 5-10 exits back. You got to loop around. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to these people, you big loss, bro. You've gone way too far. Ulaika, those people, way too far. Love the dunya over your akhirah, stopping people from the path, changing the deen. Ulaika fi dalalin ba'id, those people are very lost. It's not enough to just pull you back. You got to go back exits. You got to retrace your steps. I'm going to do one more verse. It's my favorite verse, though. I love this surah. There's a number of verses that are really deep. What time is Isha? 8:15? Okay. Verse number 4, last verse we'll do tonight. It's all about prophets, right? Prophets guide us, right? Prophets teach us. They give us our way of life. And from Adam until Muhammad, prophets have been sent to people. And in this verse number 4, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something really deep. Allah says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِهِ لِيُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ Allah says that we never sent a prophet except that they spoke the language of their people, لِيُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ so that they could clarify the message for them. Every prophet, Allah is saying, to the people that he was sent amongst, he spoke their language. Now, spoke their language just doesn't mean that they spoke the language. Because you don't know a language until you get the jokes, yo. You feel me? You can know a language, but if you can't understand, like, I don't know, some funny show, you don't know the language. Everybody else laughing, you're like, huh, we supposed to laugh right now. No, for real, how many of y'all know a second, third language, but when somebody cracks a joke, you just like, hey. Because you don't really understand the language. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us here is that these prophets, they had a deep emotional connection to the people that they were around. And I say this, if you can't make a person laugh, you can't stop them from crying. Prophets understood people on a deep interpersonal level. They spoke the language of the people. Let me give an example. Rukana was a wrestler in Mecca. The prophet, he wants to avoid the prophet at all costs because I don't want to talk about religion. I'm a wrestler. One day the prophet sees him. Rukana's trying to go the other way. The prophet's like, yo, hold up. He's like, nah, I'm done, bro. He's like, I don't want to talk. I want to wrestle. He goes, oh, I'm down. He spoke his language. He spoke his language. The prophet then goes, if I beat you, will you take shahada? Long story short, he slammed him 3 times. The prophet slammed him 3 times. And he got up. Shahadu an la ilaha illallah. And some people are like, how is that a proof of prophethood? Well, if a white belt beats a black belt 3 times in a row, he's like, that was a miracle. God had to be helping you. Because that doesn't make sense. My point, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِ No prophet was sent except that they spoke the language of the people. Listen, to transfer this message on, we need people that understand American culture to its core and then spread the message to our own people. You can't expect someone to get off the boat from any country and give dawah to Nancy, Sally, and whoever at work. Here's what I say. If you didn't eat Fruit Loops growing up, we're going to have a hard time. Do you get what I mean? وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِ And that's why for the last like decade, alhamdulillah, places have been teaching scholars from America. Because you had to watch the same cartoons. You need to know what Looney Tunes is. So that you can explain to me this book in my language. We're going to wrap up. We done. There'd be signs, yo. There'd be signs. Okay. This verse is beautiful to me because it teaches me something. Now, here's one thing I want to bring up. The Prophet ﷺ was sent as the final messenger. And his message is unique in the fact that it was for all of humanity. Here we are speaking English. But the message is for us. That's because the nation that he was sent amongst, he spoke their language. But the message, the language that the message was for humanity. It's for everyone. And that's why those after have to carry on the message and be the ones who speak and do tabligh and share that message. Now, there's another thing that's taught here. This verse teaches the importance of listening, that the beginning of guidance starts when you become a good listener. Language is learned through listening. If you never get spoken to, you can't learn how to speak. Where does language come from? I got it from my mother. I got it from my dad. Where did they get it from? They got it from their parents. Where does it go? Go all the way back. Adam speaks first. What does the Quran say? وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَىٰ. God taught Adam how to speak. Language is a miracle of God. And the ikhtilaf, as Allah says, the ikhtilaf of our speech is a blessing. The differences in our speech is a blessing from God. I mean, across America, there's different accents, different words that are said. And subhanAllah, I've read something that social scientists that say every 300 kilometers or miles, language shifts. We live globalization now, but typically it would shift. So in the north, Boston, they sound mad funny. You come down to Texas, they say y'all. Y'all is the best, by the way. You go over to Cali, they speak there. You go to Toronto, oh my God. Like the difference in speech is amazing. It's God's blessing. But the Quran is saying every nation got a prophet that spoke their language. My message to me and you is, maybe you're the one who spreads this message to people who speak your language. People who speak your language. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِهِ لِيُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ. And the purpose of that was to make the message clear. The Prophet ﷺ understood people's language. They understood what he was saying. And that's how the message was made clear. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا. We never sent any prophet. إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِهِ. Except that prophet spoke the language of his people. Why? So that they can make the message clear. فَيُذِلُّ اللَّهُ. We'll stop here. We'll pick up this verse from here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us the blessing of having these prophets, the blessing of using the faculties of speech and listening for guidance. Speech and listening for guidance. The beginning of guidance is the ability to listen. And once a person learns how to listen, only then can they learn how to speak. I'll give us tawfiq. Allah accept. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفر وأتوب إليك سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. We'll pray at 8:15 in 5 minutes after Adhan. Inshallah, please be safe getting home as the rain is supposed to be pretty.